if I really want to go all in, I have to also put like all in on my time on Bitcoin. So it's also like a sort of investment in the community, in building these bridges. And I think that this is we're like in this point of crossing the chasm in the technology that we're passionate about.
I would love to invite your listeners to come to La Casa de Satoshi. Mexico City is a beautiful place to live, to work at, to have a family, and our doors are open.
What drives grassroots Bitcoin adoption in Mexico City? Today, we're joined by Santiago and Max from Casa de Satoshi, a vibrant community space dedicated to Bitcoin and freedom technology. We explore its origins, its role in building a community movement, and its impact through university collaborations and local events. We hope you enjoy, and as a reminder, this podcast is for educational purposes only. If you like the content, please remember to subscribe, share, leave us a comment, and give us a rating, as this all helps us greatly. Lynn and I are partners at Baselayer Advisors, where we use our network of venture capital partners and startup founders to connect investors with unique opportunities within the Bitcoin innovation space. Alongside this, we help startup founders with their growth and fundraising. Visit our website's advisory section to learn more. Welcome to Build with Bitcoin. I'm co-host Israel Munoz, joined with co-host Lynn Bairstow. Today, we're very excited to be welcoming onto the podcast Santiago and Max from Casa de Satoshi, two of the founders. Welcome, Santiago and Max. We're excited about today's conversation.
Thank you, Israel and Lynn, for having us. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm big fans of Build with Bitcoin.
This is super exciting, guys. Thank you for having us.
Well, let's get right into it. Of course, we'll get into the efforts you're doing in Mexico City with Casa de Satoshi, which is, for the context of the listeners, it's a community space for those building on Bitcoin and freedom technology generally. So maybe we can start, Santiago and Max, with a little bit of context and background. Why did you decide to spend your time working on Bitcoin, and how did Casa de Satoshi come to be inaugurated? We're coming on a year, I believe, is the August mark now that Casa de Satoshi is live and operating in Mexico City. So give us a little bit of context on the team and Casa de Satoshi.
Okay, well, so thank you again, guys, for having us. It's really nice to be here because, first of all, I listen to Build with Bitcoin a lot, and you have super, super cool people that come into your podcast now. Entrepreneurs, investors, all kind of stuff, and I really admire them. So it's really cool to be having this conversation with you guys about what we're building in particular in La Casa Satoshi and in Mexico City, mostly with our grassroots community. What we say that this La Casa Satoshi, it's a grassroots community and co-working space for Bitcoiners and by Bitcoiners. But it goes much more than this 1 year anniversary, although in August 29th, we'll be celebrating 1 year of existence in our physical hub. Our existence in reality from our community goes much back in the past. In Mexico City, we have always been fomenting like the growth of the Bitcoin ecosystem. I remember, for example, even before I met all of these people like Max, who today is my co-founder at La Casa Satoshi, and Kardashev, Artur, all these people that you guys know from our community. I was just like a basement Bitcoiner. I was in college and I studied economics, but I was just like studying Bitcoin personally because I didn't know many people about it. I just like studied in my free time. And then everything changed when one day I went to a Bitcoin mining meetup and it was casually organized by Max, actually. That was the first time I'm ever met him, and I learned from this meetup in Twitter, Bitcoin Twitter, and so I said, you know, I don't know anyone in town that also likes this same niche stuff as I do. So I went to see who was there, and I ended up meeting people like Max, like Arturo, who invited me to join Kardashev BTC with him, and all of this great community began to form with these small and casual events where we just wanted to discuss Bitcoin. And with time, we just like Casa de Satoshi came into existence because we saw that we needed this physical space. In particular, I traveled to Bitcoin Park, and that was a very important experience for me because in Bitcoin Park, I realized how it was the Nashville Energy and Mining Summit. And I was looking at how on one side, the miners and these Bitcoiners like me were communicating, for example, with senators in the room. And they were all in this same physical space talking about how Bitcoin was good and it was actually good for the state and the people of the state of Tennessee. So that was like a really eye-opening experience for me. I realized that I couldn't just be like a basement Bitcoiner. I had to go out and build these bridges and also invest my time into like the layer zero of Bitcoin and creating this community.
Yeah, Max, I want you to add on to that. And I just want to applaud this. I mean, I feel especially close to Casa de Satoshi. It's my home base for where I go to meetups. And I've had the pleasure of knowing Santiago and Max for many years now and being part of the meetup group with them before the founding of this physical space. But having it has really felt like having a home for Bitcoin in Mexico City. And I used to go to a lot of crypto and Web3 meetups before because that was just the only way to even get a touch point on it. But, you know, finding my community and my home has been really important. But Max, you had the meetup before that kind of brought Santiago in. So tell us about, you know, how you came to Bitcoin and how you started holding these mining meetups, which is quite niche, as a prelude to what we're doing at Casa de Satoshi.
Amazing. Listen, I think my interest, my community, my upbringing, what I studied has led me to this exact moment and building La Casa de Satoshi with Santi and all of our co-founders. I think my interest in energy in particular led me to Bitcoin. And in 2020, I saw the fiscal response by the Mexican government and the US government. And I started getting more interested in the architecture of the systems and how fragile they were. And I started learning, researching more into this. And I was studying sustainable development engineering at Tec de Monterrey at the moment. While studying that and Bitcoin simultaneously, I ran into this guy that was very interested in turning pig poop into Bitcoin. And my curiosity and my way of being wanted to learn more about his efforts, and I invited him over to host one of these meetups at my family's business at my hotel, and we started doing these meetups there because it was a very cool setting, a place where people can have these conversations and have some beers. So it was cool to have another setting for these conversations, and that's where I started meeting more and more like-minded folks, and we started working on fomenting these places and the events where we could get together, talk, and discuss Bitcoin.
Build with Bitcoin is a proud affiliate partner of River, a Bitcoin-only financial services company that I've personally been using for years. I really enjoy the strong focus they have on security and reliability, which ultimately leads to peace of mind. I know you're a big fan as well.
I am. I feel so confident referring people to River, in addition to what you mentioned. Also, they've got US-based phone support, which I think for somebody who's less familiar with the space or used to personal service is really helpful. In addition, they have a private client services division. So if you're looking to invest $100,000 or more, they have a special suite of services designed for you, whether you're a high net worth individual, a family office, or a trust. I also really appreciate the continued improvements they make in the back end so that reliability and security continues to be really apparent.
They additionally also have US dollar cash deposits paid out in Bitcoin. They have a yield product for that, which is an interesting alternative way of accumulating Bitcoin. Overall, fantastic suite of services. If you're interested in onboarding or opening up an account at River, use partner.river.com/buildwithbitcoin for personalized onboarding.
And let's just kind of clarify exactly what is La Casa de Satoshi. It's a physical space. And can you tell us, Santi, exactly what it encompasses?
Yeah. So first of all, we have co-working desks. We have a flexible working, first come, first seat co-working for Bitcoiners in a Bitcoiner environment. Then we have private rooms like this one in which I am filming this podcast with you guys for private meetings to have a little bit of privacy. In September, we will be inaugurating the Bitcoin hardware store. So we'll also be selling your hardware needs to the Bitcoiners in town. We do events, two events a month, 101 series and the Bit Devs. So it's an event space as well. We also, we like hug and embrace all Bitcoiners in Mexico City that have, even if it's their individual initiative or if they have their startup, we really embrace the growth of the Bitcoin ecosystem, especially the Bitcoin only ecosystem in Mexico. And we distinguish also our place by this Bitcoin only philosophy as to where I know in the city, for example, there is something called Uniswap House that I heard of a couple weeks ago, and some other like crypto altcoin or shitcoin venues and co-working space. But that is also like what distinguishes us, that we have this very Bitcoin only focused mentality, also freedom technologies in general, decentralized systems and stuff like this, and a lot of educational initiatives. I think that we also really distinguish ourselves by all the just free educational content that we're also always putting in our meetups, in social media, even with essays that we are beginning to publish and stuff like that, and even contributing with universities here in Mexico. So although we're a physical space, we aim to be like the ambassadors of Bitcoin in this territory.
Yeah, and you touch on an important point, Santi. I mean, what you guys are doing is just so important. Mexico City has been a hub for fintech generally for many years, as you were alluding to in the early days of this entire Bitcoin industry. It's been kind of under the radar, Bitcoin itself, right? There's been a lot of focus on this other crypto technology and just the broader space. So you guys have become very quickly the cornerstone for the Bitcoin industry in Mexico City. And, you know, you mentioned it's Bitcoin only, but, you know, I do want to applaud you guys and make sure it's clear that it's also a very welcoming space. I mean, the idea is precisely to educate anyone interested on why Bitcoin particularly is such an important asset, technology, movement, you know, all of these things that it encompasses. So, I mean, contextually, Mexico just generally is very primed for Bitcoin adoption. Maybe all the listeners may not know, but you know, Mexico has a very long history of economic instability, currency inflation. It has a large unbanked population, a very tech-savvy youth population. I mean, we could go on, right? But the ground is very fertile for Bitcoin adoption. But before it was, the technology sector was more focused on these, you know, these other communities that you made mention to, Santi. So, I mean, what have you guys observed in this first year, Max and Santi? Are we seeing a bit of a tide shift? I know the numbers have been quite impressive recently as far as participants that have come to these events that you mentioned. But what's your feel of Mexico City and Bitcoin? Are things changing? Why was it slow to kind of establish? Give us your take.
La Casa de Satoshi is also a civil association, and we've been trying to partner with education institutions and companies and people, particularly building in Mexico. And there's been a lot of interest in this innovation from Satoshi and the past years, I think, since Bitcoin has been existing here. And there's a lot of use. I think primarily a lot of people are interested in finding ways to store their hard-earned pesos in something that doesn't devalue. So I've seen a lot of interest from people, companies coming from that part to protect their monetary energy.
Yeah, if I could complement to that, I would say, yeah, that I think people will realize, like a little bit like Max is saying, but on another side, I do need to recognize that it has been a challenge also to kind of pull people. As you mentioned, Israel, of course, this is a super welcoming space. And we promote critical debate, critical thinking, debates, different ideas, etc. Like we always have a controversial thinking and takes, for example, in our bit devs and in the different meetups we take. One time we even had Amir Taki, the proposal of BIP001, with some super controversial takes, as is usual on him, and stuff like that. So we are not like opposed to anything, but we do like to embrace ourselves only as Bitcoin people, although we can be tolerant to people coming. But there also is like a line which we are strict on, and it's that we do not like allow the promotion of any other cryptocurrency or any other digital assets. And there are never events related to that. We don't work with any companies that are like Ethereum focused or crypto focused. We only partner with Bitcoin only people. And like Max was saying, also on the university side and civil associations, on the university part, it has very difficult to pull people from the side of crypto. For example, we have had some very productive conversations with university people, even here in this table, in the one that I'm sitting in right now. But I remember they were here and they told us one time, but it's because, you know, me as a university, I have to be completely partial as to what I offer to the students. I cannot pick only one cryptocurrency, let's say Bitcoin, because I like it, and only promote education about it. I need to be partial. So please, Casa Satoshi, help me to do a curriculum that is not biased, that is general. And then this implies probably other five conversations after this with them, like, it's because, no, you have to understand why this is the only one you need to pay attention. So it is hard, you know, that is the reality. Yeah, it is a lot of like, it's like a tug war. You have to pull and go and pull. And also at some points, even like be flexible, like, you know, like see, okay, I can talk to you a little bit about stable coins and how this can help cross-border payments, just to give you a little bit of understanding of how this technology is helping and doing innovations and stuff like that. So yeah, you have to be flexible a little bit of the times to help that transition. But I do feel that people eventually will end up understanding what is really the value and what is the signal, not the noise, after more time and more maturity of the market.
Senti, you have expressed to me that you've got a potential alliance with one of the universities that is a little bit more open to a Bitcoin focus. Can you talk about that, or Max?
Yeah, well, actually, Max is planning the event. So what about you? You give a little bit heads up about what we're cooking, Max.
I would love to. There's been a lot of collaboration with students. Sandy and me were students when we started working or diving deeper into Bitcoin and the sector. And we've been trying to do a lot of collaborations with students in particular, because we believe that those are the people here in Mexico that understand it more and see the use cases. Also, they're more tech savvy. So we've been trying to set up meetups. We've been doing classes at ITAM, where Santi studied, and a lot of cool projects have popped up all around the world. Related to people learning in universities and Bitcoin. The Bitcoin Student Network has been really helpful and very cool to work with them. And I remember the first class we did in ITAM, and we gathered up a really cool crowd of like 10, 12 people. And I know that Santi was very passionate about his thesis and started working on that, started focusing on Bitcoin in university, met a lot of people interested in ITAM about it. And right now with this university, we're trying to do an event. We will do an event in October where we will do the meetup in their venue. And it's a very cool venue where more people can be deeply immersed in the discussion. And this is super interesting because it will happen as a satellite event for this film festival focused on women and building on Web3 and the crypto space. So I reached out to this friend of mine. She has been a part of the community, has been coming to these events at the house. And I tried for the festival to have a more maxi focus or lens. So after speaking with her, it was decided to do a specific day focused on Bitcoin. And we reached out to the global Bitcoin community and spoke with Alana Mediavilla, the producer of Dirty Coin. And she agreed to come to Mexico, get to know us, get to know the house, and have a meetup after the screening, the 14th, in this university, so we can discuss with the community, their students, and the faculty about this innovation and its implications in other sectors, like the energy sector. So it's going to be pretty interesting to collaborate with this film festival and with the university and see how the discussion evolves there.
And just to clarify that, the event will be held at the Universidad de la Libertad. So it makes a lot of sense. You know, we are the House of Freedom Tech and they are the Freedom University. So it's a good partnership. This is just the first event that we have planned, but we hope that after the successful first event, which is the screening of Dirty Coin, we can do many more events to get closer to the students and the youth of Mexico City.
And that university is primarily funded by Ricardo Salinas, who is a big Bitcoiner. And, you know, when we toured the university, they have sayings painted on the walls from Ricardo Salinas, but also from Satoshi, from the Matrix. So it really is an ideal space. I mean, and it's a really progressive, fascinating university that has one degree, which is business innovation. And so I think, you know, the fact that students will be exposed and their parents, correct, at the event that you're hosting, it'll be open to students.
Yeah, also parents are invited, and we're also of course inviting faculty, but we are also pushing for eventually to do even events or workshops tailored to teachers and faculty, and then other events tailored to parents, other events tailored to students. So yeah, like we are trying to grow and get stronger on the educational part, because as Max was saying, we are a civil association, so we're a non-for-profit, and we just want this to be a vehicle that pushes for Bitcoin education in Mexico City and in Mexico in general.
I think it'd be awesome to touch, keep discussing this subject about universities and talk to Israel and Lynn a little bit more about how different university students, part of our community, have been growing in the space, finding opportunities, and now working on Bitcoin, building with Bitcoin. Santi, I know This student is a very good friend of yours and also studied in your university. So before jumping into another subject, I'd love for you to tell Lynn and
Israel. Yeah, so that's also like a good story that even like gives us like a good picture of how the scene is growing. So at the beginning in this university, I was the only Bitcoiner. So I had to bring in a student from another university, which was Max, to help me urge pill the people. And then eventually, like, we began getting people and stuff. So I left the university some years ago and stuff. But this other kid, that he's a younger friend of mine, he inherited the lead and he became a maximalist. He began coming to the Bit Devs, to the 101 series meetups, starting to learn about Bitcoin a lot. And today, thanks to Lakar Satoshi, some person here offered a job for looking for young programmers looking to learn. And this friend of ours, who is still in college even, got the job. So now he's, I think he's 4 months into it, now working in the Bitcoin industry and got a Bitcoin job as his first job. So he's super happy. And this is just one example of how we're like planting seeds. So we planted a seed in the university and the club is going to like keep growing forever without the need of us being there. And then also with him, like seeing the guy Satoshi helped him get a job, then he's always have this appreciation for the space and he wants to contribute. So he's one of these persons that, for example, writes essays and comes to our meetups and proposes ideas or shares stuff with us. So this is a little bit a nice example of the organic growth of our grassroots community.
Also, an example of the cool collaborations that have come up with other projects that are open, no, and particularly built to help people understand it as the Bitcoin Student Network. So that's a pretty cool collaboration with them.
There's other very exciting collaborations coming up in the roadmap, let's say, over the coming months. But I mean, you know, it goes to show as well that sometimes all it takes is showing up and, you know, a little curiosity. And I highly encourage anyone who is, of course, natively in the Mexico City area or even passing by to just go to one of the events. I mean, the space itself is absolutely beautiful. I mean, the architecture, the energy there, you have startups working out of the co-working space. There's other monthly events, which to that point, actually, Santi and Max, can you tell us a little bit about what the two recurring events are about, the Bitcoin 101 and the BitDevs, and what the participation has been? And we've also seen some well-known Bitcoiners passing through Casa de Satoshi. Yeah, tell us a little bit more of that side of things.
So we have two events, as I said earlier. The second Tuesday of each month, we have the 101 series, Bitcoin 101 series. So those monthly events, they are tailored more to beginners, and we cover different topics. So for example, one time in the 101 series, we did Bitcoin versus real estate. And for that meetup, I noticed that we got like a lot of newcomers, but people that worked in things tangential or literally real estate. And so we pulled that kind of crowd. And then we did a Bitcoin in Wall Street event for the 101 series. And we pulled in like the finance bros. And then you do another 101 tailored to something. And you also always pull like a new different crowd, a new different set of newcomers. And then some of those decide to stay, you know, as the base that comes to all the meetups. And then the last Thursday of each month, we have BitDevs, which it is run by Gustavo Flores of Swapido. He organizes the BitDevs, and it is a technical event for programmers, honestly, super high level. Gus is a contributor to Bitcoin Optic. So I really think that we have a world-class BitDevs here in Mexico City, thanks to him mostly. And also the fact that we have it in Spanish is very valuable, because he talks Spanish perfectly and can translate it even to people that do not speak English. So I think that our BitDevs is really something inspiring. I'm very glad of that event that we've been having up. And yeah, a lot of people come by here. Why don't you get a little bit into all of the famous Bitcoiners that have been around the La Casa, Mike?
It's been amazing, honestly. We've been trying to find ways of shedding this bright orange focus light on different events happening all around the city. And for example, we also do an event on Saturdays. We open up the house and serve some coffee, and people come to talk and hang out. And that has been really, really cool to have people just come over for a cup of coffee and getting to know them. They bring over their books. We've had authors, we've had entrepreneurs, and we've done a lot of cool things with events happening around the city and trying to find ways to collaborate with them. For example, the Mexico City Tech Week, we had a satellite event at the house, and it was at a Saturday, and we invited people working in projects related to tech. We had a guy that built a virtual reality model of the evolution of the Mexico City Valley, and how the water systems have evolved, and you could put on the glasses and see the evolution. We also had Super Testnet there as well. I remember one of the first events that I was pumped about was with Super, and it was this super cool workshop on how to build a smart contract with an Oracle to determine
for sports betting. It was
sports
right?
betting. Yeah. So it was super interesting to have that workshop here. And something that I love about the events and the people that come here, they really try to focus on our community, and they make a huge effort on speaking in Spanish so that everyone here can understand. So Super has been here, and his Spanish is still in progress, but he makes the effort, and all of the other people that come here for the bit dev.
Well, yeah, we also had Chris Guida come here, and he gave his bit dev in Spanish. Then some other visitors we had were Jeff Booth, Preston Pish,
Jimmy Song,
that's right. Grant McCarty from the Bitcoin Policy Institute was here.
We also do some fun events and celebrations. It's not all geek and nerdy.
Yeah, for example, that's a good point. For example, when there was a Bitcoin 100K party, and that event was very different. To talk into us into attendance for the usual educational events, both the 101 series and the BitDevs, our usual number of people is between 40 and 60. And for this event, for the Bitcoin 100K party, which was actually Bitcoin 2.1 millones de pesos, because the exchange rate to Mexican pesos made it 2.1 million pesos per coin. So that's what we were celebrating. And we had more than 100 people for those kind of events. Or also for Bitcoin Pizza Day, we did a big event outside, and the turn up was probably more like 80 to 100 people. And yeah, we also do more fun and socialing events also for that people have time to network and enjoy themselves in La Casa de Satoshi.
We usually put some tacos, we put some beers out, and it's been truly special to have the people from Mexico City come by and tell us about what they're interested, what they're building. We've had an event where we had lightning pitches, and we met a couple of Bitcoiners we weren't aware of, and they had these super cool projects like Sati. Felipe from Sati was there, and I was amazed on how he was working with Bitcoin and WhatsApp and the Lightning Network, and that has been truly, truly special.
Yeah, and also the bringing in the Mexican cultural aspect together with Bitcoin, like the altar for Day of the Dead celebration, the altar to Satoshi was, I think, just a magnificent touch.
Yeah, that was a great idea. So for those people that are not aware, in Mexico, every 2nd of November, we celebrate the Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. And it's a day where you honor the dead and you put up an altar, which is like a little table with decorations, the food that they liked, a picture of your ancestors and stuff like that. So we did an altar to thank Satoshi. And that was actually great timing, because it was also the timing when it was not just the Day of the Dead in Mexico, but it was also when the movie or the documentary of HBO came out. So we were telling people like, no, Satoshi is dead. And it was actually like a controversial take that we were putting on a dead altar for Satoshi. And also to compliment on the cultural stuff, Max was responsible of shooting the Bitcoin on the, why don't you tell them about that, on the central bank?
Yeah, these past couple of years, it's been so fun to collaborate with Bitcoiners from all around the world. And there's been a lot of interest in Mexico in particular because of our relationship with the States and remittances. So there's a lot of companies working to provide better solutions for Mexicans, Americans, people living here to use Bitcoin. And before La Casa de Satoshi existed, I was working as a community manager for Yopaki, and they wanted to do a very cool gathering, a block party. And so I helped them organize it, find a special venue, the mariachis, the menu. And one of these activities that was planned and was to spend the day in the city center, get to know the central bank. And after spending the day there and getting to know the museum and the place, we got together outside of the of the central bank. And I remember getting into a car with Super and finding all the tools to get a projector connected to the car motor and be able to just turn it up and project a very classy fix the money, fix the world, study Bitcoin, estudia Bitcoin to the central bank facade. Or yeah, so that has been really cool to collaborate with other companies in the space, and I think that's the goal here. And there's been many instances where we've been doing that. And for example, working with the guys at Swapido, we've had so much fun, and it's been this back and forth, no, of ideas on how to have a more impact and meaningful impact, thinking about the generations in the future and not just the immediate impact, but make it lasting.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, Max, like that's one of my favorite things. Like, let aside the part of, you know, like being part of the founding team at La Casa Toshi, like one of my favorite things is precisely that. Like the collaborations between my team at that we work at Cardshark BTC with the other guys working in the same space, but totally something different, Swapido BTC, like the financial Bitcoin services here in Mexico. Our companies are like completely unrelated. We don't have many things in common whatsoever, but we learn and like support one another a lot, and that really helps me. So to give you an example, right now, Vibe coding is like super popular and everyone knows what that is. But before it was like everywhere, Vibe coding, the first time I ever heard Vibe coding, it was because Goose from Swapido, he was like working right next to me and he was teaching me how he uses it. So I was like, oh, let me see how I can use it. And that's how we learn and we also like support each other. So I think that is like the beauty of La Casa Toshi, that it's like Bitcoin founders and Bitcoiners just supporting each other and making everyone grow.
Santi, I think it's a great time for you to introduce your role and what you do at ASO Bitcoin Mexico, La Asociación de Bitcoin Mexico, and the collaboration with other companies, for example, with Capitalex, and how has that been growing?
Yeah, so we also created the Asociación Bitcoin de Mexico because we, as we mentioned earlier, we believe in building these bridges. So we really want to have this education not just for the community, but also, for example, for policymakers and for industry in general and companies. So we are also doing efforts to have bigger forums and even conferences in the future, where it's not just only the Bitcoin companies and the Bitcoiners attending. But we envision also a future where in these conferences and these events in Mexico, policymakers will even be coming into the rooms and wanting to learn, oh, how is this technology shaping financial and fintech services? How is this technology reshaping the energy industry and stuff like that? So we think that it needs to come from our side to put that initiative. And primarily, if we want to differentiate ourselves from the crypto world, you know, because there will be, for example, Asociación Fintech de Mexico, they embrace crypto and stuff like that, but it's not the same thing. So we really need to have a platform like that, but Bitcoin only focused, and bridging that gap between our far end in the Bitcoin world and the Bitcoin startups to the policymakers and bringing these two worlds closer together.
Speaking of that, maybe you could kind of give a high-level overview of what the status of Bitcoin is in Mexico in terms of legislation, taxation. I mean, just where do we stand and how familiar is the government? And we've seen a big turnaround in the U.S. in the last, under the current administration, with a broader acceptance and no longer kind of demonizing crypto or Bitcoin in particular, and the talk of the Bitcoin strategic reserve. How is the landscape in Mexico, and how do you see?
Yeah, what I usually say about the landscape in Mexico is that it's neither positive or negative, and it really is very neutral. There is not like a general sense of, oh, the let's say the establishment like is more leaning towards one side or towards the other, it's really neutral because it's just like, I think it doesn't have it in the agenda yet. And they don't either categorize it as a right thing or as a left thing. It hasn't gotten to that point yet in Mexico, but there is some legislation where it is mentioned. For example, there is a fintech law where Bitcoin is mentioned as a digital asset. And just regarding that, like taxes, for example, well, yeah, Bitcoin, since it is categorized in the law as an asset, it should pay ISR, which is the tax over your earnings and stuff like that. But like there is some very, very basic frameworks, but nothing too specific yet. And for example, now in our mining efforts with Cardshark BTC, we're also trying to expand the clarification on some of this stuff. For example, for the regulators to know that our data centers can be pro-environment and stuff like that. So, I mean, today there is nothing much more than what I already told you, but with the growth of these Bitcoin startups, not just in mining and in energy, but in finance, Bitcoin fintech solutions and stuff like that, I am sure that more particular laws and regulations tailored toward the Bitcoin side of things will come up.
There's a lot going on in Mexico and in the Casa de Satoshi's efforts that you're speaking to, Santi and Max. What are some of the objectives for you guys as founders of Casa de Satoshi as you look, you know, 6-12 months down the line? I mean, is it in the form of just furthering collaboration with universities or other partnerships? What's the, I guess, ideal outcome for you guys in the following 12 months?
Well, I'm working right now with a company from El Salvador that has a very good reputation in the Bitcoin sector. They're the Bitcoin hardware store. And I think for La Casa de Satoshi, right now, we want to help people get their hands on Freedom Tech. And one way of doing that is for us to develop this store at the house where people can get their wallets, their seat plates, and all the gadgets for the secure handling of your Bitcoin. And I think there's a lot of need from our community that they've been expressing it to get their hands on these cold wallets. And it's kind of difficult for people here in Mexico to get their hands on. No, they don't want to order them online. So I think that's objective number one in my opinion, helping people get their hands on Freedom Tech. And it may be it's very close. We're I think very close next month to have that store in the house. And I'll let Santi talk about the other objectives at the house.
Yeah, I would say that one general objective that we have at the house as a co-working space is to not just be a co-working space where people come work, but that we can also support our startups in the house to thrive. Like, I think that our platform at La Casa Satoshi is helping, for example, Kardashev, it's helping Swapio, Wallet of Satoshi, one of our sponsors. Like, it's giving a physical platform and really helping startups to give the next level. And then focused on developers and universities and all that kind of stuff. We didn't mention, but we also have an alliance with Libreria de Satoshi. Dulce from Libreria de Satoshi is very close to our team. And we are really expanding efforts to have more Mexican young developers and project managers that are wanting and that are, first of all, that have the necessary skills about Bitcoin and about all the technical details for programming and for project management that they need. And then also to help them find jobs in the space so that our ecosystem begins to grow. We have more people in the house. If we can also like get more Mexicans some Bitcoiner jobs, then the La Casa Satoshi will have more people co-working here, more minds connecting, more growth. Then we also have on the horizon to keep doing events, the ones that we are doing to grow our community, have a bigger audience, and also hopefully get a little bit of the audience that today is going to the crypto events and stuff in Mexico City to convert them to this Bitcoin only event. And then I would also say that a more general objective that we're working on is on our global positioning. You know, we are, for example, considering global hackathons with other Bitcoin-based events and co-working spaces, and communities, in order for us to like also have this position in the global Bitcoin network, where people come to Mexico City and they want to come here, and possibly we also begin doing conferences, Bitcoin conferences in Mexico with satellite events in La Casa Satoshi. And it's something that people look forward to. And we're looking, trying to grow ambitiously, because I think that this is something very needed. This freedom technology is very needed in our country.
I want to just expand on what you both have talked about, which I think are fantastic objectives for the Casa de Satoshi as an entity. But let's get a little bit more personal. For each of you, what is it that drives you? I mean, both of you are involved in Kardashev BTC, so you have something that you're spending your time and focus on, a business that you're building. But beyond that, what is it that motivates you to put so much thought and energy into La Casa de Satoshi? What is it that personally drives you?
I don't know if it's hope or fear, but both of them.
That's a good way to sum it up, Max. But I'd say a little bit more for hope. Coming back to Bitcoin Student Network, which we've discussed a lot on today, because we've really been helped by them and by their content to push also Mexican students to have similar initiatives and Bitcoin clubs in their local universities. Ella from the Bitcoin Student Network, she put out an article some time ago about something called the Layer Zero. And the article was saying that we as Bitcoiners spend a lot of time thinking about, oh, the Layer 1, the Layer 2, and Lightning, and Liquid, and the Layers 3 that are coming, and stuff like that. But the most important is the Layer Zero, which is the people and the community, and the people actually making these Layer 1s and Layer 2s possible, and shaping the future of it. So. For me, in my evolution as a Bitcoiner, not just like putting most of my wealth into Bitcoin or all of it, but the part that I really like in my evolution, I realized like if I really want to go all in, I have to also put like all in on my time on Bitcoin. So it's also like a sort of investment in the community, in building these bridges. And I think that this is, we're like in this point of crossing the chasm in the technology that we're passionate about. So we need to invest time in these things that other people are not willing to invest their time in which is the education, the growth of the community and stuff like that. So I think that is a good way to sum it up, to cross the chasm.
I love it. And it's something that's, I think anyone who's dedicating their time in Bitcoin currently can relate to both of your points, because I mean, to your point, Santi, we are at that critical moment, but it's not a done deal yet, right? And it's, as we've observed, it's the educational process, it's slow. It's a complete paradigm shift in thinking about money, society, economics. Then you have all these parallel technologies, so it can be a lot to take in and a complex subject. And it's a bit of a grind, right? I mean, you have to be patient. You have to just keep dedicating your time to building that future, right? And in a more hopeful manner. I understand what you mean, though, Max, that it's a little bit of both, right? Because once you understand Bitcoin at a deeper level, there is a fear component in letting the current system continue its tracks, right? So, I mean, all that to say, I think you guys are doing a fantastic job at Casa de Satoshi. We'll, of course, have to have another episode as well on Kardashev BTC, because that's a whole other side of Bitcoin that's super interesting, particularly in Mexico with the energy makeup. And we'll leave that conversation for another time, but we'll have to dedicate an episode to Kardashev as well.
I don't know, Lynn, any other points that you want to hit on?
Yeah, I'd like to ask both Max and Santiago, what advice, I mean, you guys have been building this for a long time. And Max, let's start with you because you started with the mining meetups. But what advice would you give for somebody in another community globally that wants to start something like this? What lessons have you learned that you could share?
I think Bitcoin converges with a lot of different technologies and different ideas. And I would say start looking into things that you're passionate about and start thinking of ways on how Bitcoin could improve or make a little bit better. And I think you'll find a lot of ways in which you could spend your energy and your focus. And I think it'll give a lot of fruits.
For me, I would say that my advice would be to like take the first step and put that proof of work in, and the rewards will come later. Like, I think that Bitcoiners are very rewarding when they see people put the proof of work in. So if you take that first step and, I don't know, you create a physical space, then someone is going to like really see value to it and to your initiative and like what you're doing, and they will support you because they see that, oh, they are doing meetups every month, so let me sponsor them or buy a projector for them. Little by little, like the community goes pitching in and aiding, because it's at the end of the day, it's a noble cause, you know, and people realize the nobleness of the cause and everything that we're trying to do through the proof of work and the consistency. And I think that in general, in any place, if you begin to do that, or if it's, let's say, it doesn't have to be a physical space, it can be a project, like you begin putting a prototype out and working by yourself or even by coding it and have some proof of work to see that you're putting thought into it and improving and stuff like that. Well, someday someone will be interested in collaborating with you in working with you in partnering or funding you in different stuff. So I think that Bitcoiners, that would be my advice, to like do the proof of work and then the rewards come.
Anything else you two would like to add that we haven't asked you? Any other words of advice or closing comments?
I would love to invite your listeners to come to La Casa de Satoshi. Mexico City is a beautiful place to live, to work at, to have a family. And our doors are open. Thank you so much for inviting us to this podcast. Also, I promise that we will get the podcast room an upgrade so you can record more and more episodes here at the house. It's your base. Nuestra casa es su casa.
Yeah, and just to compliment, I would say to follow everything we're posting in Twitter, on X, at La Casa Satoshi. And also in our website, we have some educational content. We're posting some monthly essays in Spanish for those who are able to read Spanish and are interested to read Spanish, or even those who want to improve their Spanish and want to do it with a Bitcoin article. Again, thank you, Lynn and Israel, for having us. And look forward to having more conversations with you in the future.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, keep at it, guys. You're doing, as I think can be gathered from this conversation, you're doing a lot, and it's going in the right direction. Lynn and I, of course, are somewhat frequent visitors, and we're quite involved. And I truly encourage others to also look to get involved, stop by, go to the events. We'll make sure to have the links to the websites and all that info in the show notes as well. So yeah, thanks, Santi and Max, and we'll speak again soon.